We're going to be looking at the book of James. I went from John to James because I thought, you know, well, I prayed about this for a while, and I felt bad about leaving John because John was such a very deep, deep book, and it was there so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so these things were written that you may believe. James, on the other hand, is written. It's more of a practical book. I thought I'd go that way. Because if we have a plate of food, right? If we have, you like broccoli. I'm not going to ask you how many of you here like broccoli. Probably nobody does, but no. It's all how you cook it. But no, you wouldn't want a whole plate full of broccoli, right? You like to have different things to chew from. Enjoy, you know. Life should be enjoyable. Hopefully we're making the right choices. We have the right kinds of foods on our plate. And the Word of God is the same way. It's like food to our soul. And so James is written here. And the theme of this book is a faith that works. It was written as the earliest epistle. Most expositors think around 45 AD. So does that really matter? Well, yes, it does, because James, I believe, he was the head of the council there in the church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, and he had a right of precedent, which was the problem was with these churches that were developing. Now, look, they met in homes, and you all know this. They sometimes met in synagogues. When the synagogue wasn't being used, and it used different places. And just like we meet in a building, God has provided graciously for some of us over 50 years. Some of us have been here 20 years or whatever. The point is that James was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew, he didn't totally believe in Christ. The deity of Christ, who Christ was, until he resurrected. Because he had life, Jesus had life over death. And we have today life over death. Isn't that wonderful? And yet, but sometimes we live like there is no tomorrow. Sometimes we live because of sin in our lives. Yes, we counterbalance that with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough problems of their own. You know, take it one day at a time, right? When it gets there, it will get there, you know. But like any other church, like these churches, these Hebrew Christians, they were going through different trials. They were facing temptations of sin. There were a lot of hearers there, and James says this addresses it too. But they weren't doers, you know. And yet they had problems like catering to the rich and, you know, playing, you know, favorites. And then also there were competing positions in church, improper use of the tongue. There was gossip going around. So, in other words, like as it is today with all churches, they have their problems. And it doesn't matter how small or how big, the body of Christ needs to be checked every once in a while. You heard that expression, checks and balances. Well, you need to check this out. You need to balance with this. And so they were starting to stray from the faith. And one person says, you know, with James, it's like a proverbial book, like the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom, a lot of practical advice that I would have to say over our experience, all of us together would say amen to that, because we've all grown. We've seen things happen maybe 10, 20 years ago we would never imagine. And I tell you, I can only imagine, what our life may be in the next 10 or 20 years. I don't know. But God does. The reassurance and the assurance of our salvation is important. So, what can I say about this other than that is that it's time to get into the Word of God. So I gave you like a background. So, remember, our faith does work, but it cannot work apart from works, okay? So you say, I have faith and not works, it's like, okay, where is it? Okay? I believe, but unless you do something, we're in a society today of say it, do it. You know, show and tell in that kind of society. So, I entitled this message, Troubles and Triumph. So right away, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it says here, you have the salutation or the greeting here. It's like the beginning of your letter, as you would write your letter. So he's writing here, says, James, he addresses himself, he's the brother of Jesus Christ, a bondservant of God. It's interesting because that idea of a bondservant was somebody who was now part of that family. In that society, there were many slaves back in the day. Over half of the population in Rome, they said, had slaves. But a bond slave was somebody who actually was co-equal with ownership in that family. They became part of the family. So what am I saying? What is James saying here under the Holy Spirit? We are part of that family in Jesus Christ. We are the Gentiles that have been grafted on to that vine, like it says in John. And so, you know, God had called Israel. What happened with Israel? They turned their backs on God. Unfortunately, the church is doing the same thing with apostasy like it did then. Look at history. History repeats itself. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is mercy and grace. He puts up with a lot of our problems, because it's not that he puts up with it. It's because he loves us. Big difference. Somebody says, I got to put up with you tonight. No, you love that person. Jesus loves us. So, the church has got problems. God knew all about that before the beginning of time, what would happen. And he's letting his plan work through. And it says here, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he's Lord, he's Savior, and he is the anointed one. So he's all that, and he was the perfect Messiah, the one who would come. Behold, the coming of the Lamb of God, like John would say. So the authorship we see here, and then also we see our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom he is representative of. And we're all representatives of that today. And it says here, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, that meant that there were all 12 tribes, all of Israel's tribes, that these Hebrew Christians, remember, these are new Christians into this world. It's only around 45 AD. When did Jesus die? Around 33 AD. So you're having a church. The church started springing up all over the place. Remember Paul in the book of Acts? He was going out planting churches there. And the Holy Spirit would get a hold of men. And men and women would get saved. Households would get saved. And churches would bud. They would start to bloom and blossom in that fertile soil where the seed had been planted. So as we see that here, but there's also something going on here. There were problems. There were problems. And so as we see that in many churches today, we need to be praying for our churches today. No different. The society might have been different, customs and the cultures, but people are still the same yesterday as they are today. You want to take a travel halfway around the world? I learned that when I was 17 in the Navy. I learned exactly what people are like. They're the same as you and I are today. They might have different colored skin, talk different language, but you know what? They need the Savior. They need Jesus Christ. And so apart from Christ, people need the Lord. So moving on here, I want to say that this here, it says verse 2. We're going to look here at the verse 2 is the attitude. How we look at things in life. So it says here in verse 2, my brethren, that means everybody in the church, count it all joy. It has an accounting term. It has the idea of when somebody's doing accounting and they're working with money or whatever it is in the office. So you count on it for this to happen. Count it all joy. How can we get the joy when we live in a place like we do in this world? So many problems, and nobody wants to talk about it. I'm not going to dwell on what's going on today in society. All you have to do is go home, turn on the news. You already know that. It says when you fall into various trials, it has the idea of being caught off guard. Caught off guard. It's real easy to be caught off guard, especially today. That's why I tell people always keep your guard up. You know, if you don't memorize Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 10 about the armor of God, and then don't ever leave out the part about praying after putting on the armor of God, you got to do that. And some Christians have fooled themselves today, think, oh, that's just Sunday school antics. No, it's not. It's the Holy Spirit working in us and saying, be on guard, because you can't be enough not to be on guard. It says here in Job 5:7, for man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. Job knew this. You ever gone out? I enjoyed being in the Boy Scouts years ago as a chaplain. I enjoyed working with the kids then. I remember we'd build fires, and we have to build them carefully. We would have a circumference of rocks around them. We would look into the fire, and we'd see sparks flying up, and we'd have to say, like Job says here, be careful about those sparks, because they can start little fires. And so what he's saying here under the Holy Spirit is that we were born for trouble. There is, you know, I call my little dog Trouble, Romeo Little Trouble. You know, he's getting old. He's 15 plus years of age, and he's not thinking. I call him Little Trouble because he's troublesome. We have to be careful today about the troubles that fly up around us. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 23 says, because of all of a man's days, his task is painful and grievous, even at night. His mind does not rest. So today, I am sure this week, some of us might have gotten, unless we're exhausted or we work a night job, you know, we wake up in the middle of the night and say, Lord, I don't know why I'm awake, but, you know, I'm trying to get my thoughts together. And it's the best time to get your thoughts on the Lord, to pray. Just to grab your Bible, open it up to something and read it, and pray for the peace of God that comes and gives you that gives you rest beyond all things. And he will give you rest. Okay? So, John 15:20. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So, looking at this topical study here, we're going to be persecuted like Jesus was. In a sense, you're going to have people from... Look at it this way. If you went down there and you decided to witness to somebody who was opposed to your faith, somebody who didn't agree with you, that form of opposition, persecution means to be the opposite thereof, to be against. And so you're going to feel the pressure. And so it's not easy to witness to people about the Lord. Today, I'm sure it's real easy to go along with everything, isn't it? Because you don't cause any waves. But that's okay, because if God convicts you to do it, what? You do it. When God tells you to witness, you witness. If God tells you not to witness, don't witness. But remember what Jesus was our best example. We learned this all through the book of John, that Jesus spoke when the time was right. Jesus did not speak when the time wasn't right. And so our best example is Jesus Christ. Because what does the Holy Spirit do? It points what? His job is to point to Jesus. So Jesus says, learn it from me. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, Paul reminded Timothy that indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. See, you want to live a godly life? You want to live wholesome and decent and have some integrity this week? Guess what? You are going to be persecuted. You are going to be opposed against. And, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. Don't think to yourself, well, I'm living a godly life. Nothing's happening. Well, count on it. Like it says in James, count on it. And don't fall into to these various trials that has the idea of being caught off. Okay? So, and also I said about with the attitude. We got to be careful. Okay, like the old saying goes, when you have a flat tire, you really can't change it, right? Until you actually go out and do it. It's like with the attitude. You have a bad attitude. You got to change your attitude before you have to change it before you can do anything about it. It's like with a flat tire. I'm sure you heard that been said before. But with this being said, so as we look at our maturity, and this is what I wanted to really focus on here, besides what I've already said here, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith, that has the idea of your endurance, testing of your faith produces patience. And of course, it has the idea here of being patient through the Holy Spirit, and these steps are very important because these trials happen, what? Let you to grow. And so Jesus understood that with his disciples. They had to grow. Remember, they didn't understand everything in life. We looked at that in John. They didn't totally get the big picture. They were all constantly looking at the little picture. And so the big picture Jesus had in his sovereignty was this, just be patient. I don't like saying hang in there because that doesn't sound right. But hold on. Hold on to the grace of God. Hold on to your Bible, you know. So you have, says here, but let patience have its perfect work. That has the idea of making it mature and complete. And then that you may be perfect and complete. It has the idea of being where we get our word holograph. And holograph has a 3D, you know, your height, width, and depth is 3D. You know, you've heard that expression. God gives it to us all. You know, our height to Jesus Christ, the width with other, and the depth, the deepest part of the Holy Spirit, communing with Jesus, you know, constantly looking up to Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus, that very deep part of us. So, and I love this. It has the idea of complete. It has also, and lacking nothing, that means you don't need anything else. Because of all that's happened, God's given you everything you need. Isn't it nice to be content and be complete and so on and so forth? In other words, there is nothing missing. You know, I know sometimes I do. Anyway, if I'm missing my Bible, I'm like, oh, where is the Word of God? Well, you know what the Lord has constantly keeps on reminding? To hide God's word in my heart, what? So I don't sin against him. So it's easy to sin against God. When I'm sinning against anybody here, I'm sinning against God. So I have to take two steps back, and I have to take a good look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, where did I go wrong? Tell me, Lord, pray about it. Seek God's word under the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of you already know that. But like if it's happening to me, I'm sure it's happening to you. That we have to remind ourselves. I have to remind myself, oh, that's right, Lord, I need to do that. Because I know me, I'll get ahead of the Lord. So, and then lacking nothing. Now, I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to give you 8 reasons that the Lord allows trials to come into our lives. Okay? There's 8 reasons. Now, I'll usually take about 45 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I won't take as long. So you're like, oh. No, it's, you know, hold on to what I'm saying here, okay? So there are 8 reasons that the Lord allows trials to come into our lives, and there are many more, but these I thought are 8 good ones here to share with you all, to ponder about, to meditate on, to test the strength of our faith. If you look in 2 Chronicles 32:31, says here, God left him alone, only to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. He's talking about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, and by the way, there is no book in the Bible called Hezekiah. My college professor, he had a test. He says chapter and verse in the book of Hezekiah. But some people don't read their Bibles, so they think they know enough, or they're just tired. And there is no book of Hezekiah. It was in 2 Chronicles 32:31. God was testing him. Because Hezekiah was a godly king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Okay? So he gave tribute to the Lord. He did what was right. The problem was when the king of Assyria came along with his 185,000 man army, which encircled Jerusalem at that time, that he decided, oh, you know what? I need to give tribute to the enemy. Well, that was something that the Lord never told him to do. So he went into the temple and he took the gold off the doors. He took the shields. He took other things from the temple that God told him not to do, even though he was a very faithful king, because the man had a problem. What? Number one, he had fear. So when trials come along, let me tell you, that fear comes in. And if we don't get it under control, it'll take over us. So that was the first thing. Now, from the enemy's side, the king, one of the men that were supposed to, the messenger, came up to Hezekiah, and he says, you know what? Your God, your Hebrew God, is not going to work. This is not going to work. So he blasphemed Hezekiah's God, which was Yahweh. And so that didn't go over too well. Remember, God knows all things when we go through trials. God is listening when people blaspheme his name. And it has the idea of blaspheme, speak evil of. Anything that's derogatory against God. So he decided he was going to take his troops and do a number on Hezekiah. He was thinking, oh, he's paying tribute. That's not enough. Never get around people to take bribes. I'm just saying, I don't know why I'm saying this, but don't ever mess with the evil of money. It can paralyze you, and they got you, okay? Don't let people blackmail. So this poor Hezekiah got himself into a pickle, and so but the Lord got him out. When we're going through trials, okay, when you least expect it, and they will come to you, remember, God was on his side. The angel of the Lord came and smote the 185,000 Assyrians. That is a lot of people. And fast forward here, Hezekiah is there meditating in the Holy Spirit, praying to God. God says to him in prayer, you know what? I'll give you 15 more years, okay, to live. All right. Oh, good. You know, do we want 15 more years to live? Is that what a prayer is? I don't know if I do. I mean, for you all's sakes and for my wife and my kids, yeah, I'll be around 15 years. All right. But Hezekiah was blessed. And there's just a wonderful thing being blessed. And so what happened next was that Hezekiah did one more no-no, and he decided to, he was a show-off. He went ahead and he showed the messengers of Babylon who came next, because the Assyrians were out of the way. They came along and they were like, oh, Hezekiah was like, let me show you all that God has blessed. And he showed them everything. Be careful what we share with people, because we may invite trials. It's nobody's business, our own personal life. Be careful what you tell the government, and so on and so forth. Be on guard. So there you go. You had now the Babylonians knew. But God promised Hezekiah, if we have time, in 2 Chronicles 32. He says, look, I've pronounced judgment that the Babylonians, what happened? Yes, they came in and they took over the city eventually. But God was merciful to Hezekiah, and he says, look, you know, I'm not going to let this happen during your lifetime, okay? But it was too late. So be careful. Be on guard, okay, what you let people know. And that's why I think God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? It was a good thing. So we be good listeners. Be good listeners. And, you know, so there's number one was to test our strength of our faith. Number two, say trials are given to humble us and not turning into presumption of our own accomplishments. You know, Satan sometimes can make us proud. I probably said that wrong. We gave in to his temptation. Okay? We, through the flesh, like it says in James later on, say, no, God does not tempt us, no. But when we give in to our own flesh, that he throws out a bait and hook, and we take on to it. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And Paul had to deal with this pride, because as you'll see here in a minute. Paul says, because of surpassing greatness of revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. God protects us from ourselves, because we all have that problem with pride. We all do. I hate it. I don't like it, but it pops its ugly head every once. You know, we come to church and we think, oh, you know, I love you, you know, this and that, and I, you know, love the Lord. But you know, we all know, we're not going to kid ourselves. There's that pride. So Paul was like, boy, remember, the more God gives you and blesses you, the harder it is to deal with it. You know, and we know that for ourselves, you know, so we have to be extremely careful and guard ourselves. And thirdly, God allows trials to wean us from dependence from worldly things. And John chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, an interesting story here with Philip and Jesus. Jesus asked Philip, where are we to buy bread? Remember when those 20,000 or so are there? And there, a lot of them are there just to get a free meal. And a lot of them are, people today just like to get something for free. They don't want to work for it. But they were all there, and Jesus was there with his disciples. And Philip, you know, Jesus asked, where are we to buy bread so that we may eat? This was for saying to test him. Not in a bad way. Remember, God is not the author of evil. No. He tested him for good. So the things that God allows in our lives today, he allows it for good. We can't get angry at God. That's foolishness, okay? Because we redirect it right back to ourselves. And so we go to God and say, Lord, show me. I'm pretty stupid today. I can't see. I don't understand it, you know? God will show us, you know? For he himself knew what he was intending to do. The thing is with Philip, he was more like an accountant. He dealt with things like that. He saw the big picture. He was like, look, this is 2/3 of a person's wage, what money we can get together for a year. How are we going to feed all these people? It's an impossibility. Christ was looking at the small picture, saying, if you just depend on me, dependence on God is the best thing to do. You know, because your health, you know what? Money cannot buy your health. You know, houses, cars, all, you know, whatever material things cannot. Your body is precious. Take good care of it. If you know somebody you love, show that you care about them. Say, I care about you. You know, are you okay today? You know, I love you. You know, are you all right? You know, just a kind word can speak volumes to people. That's all they need to hear. And then, of course, there's also trials can draw us to the eternal hope of heaven. Remember, it's not a cop-out. Lord, I'm having a bad day. I wish I could go home and be with you. No, that's a cop-out. I think it's just, if we know the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, he understands what it says in Philippians 1, 22, 23, and 24. It says, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, which is true. I think we would all agree with that. Nevertheless, our remaining in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, God had taken somebody who we knew here, who was very close to the individual here, church home a few days ago. There was another lady that went home to be with the Lord who I knew. I mean, a husband of a lady that I knew went home to be with the Lord. It was their timing. It was perfect timing. But there are times when we need to stay where we're at. We have to keep this focus for others. It's for others. That's why we're here. We're here just for a short time. And, you know, it's like one person said, yeah, during the day it can go pretty slow. But when you look back at it through the summer, yeah, the summer did go by fast. Therefore, I said, summer's probably going to go by quick. Usually do. But let it be in mind that we're praying for others. Let it be that you think about it. Is there somebody that we're really praying for? Somebody, our church or whatever. Is there a reason for us being here except for a self-existence, you know, with God, of course, and everything else? Is there something deeper that we have? But we have that the trials can draw us to an eternal hope. Yes, we're only going to be here for a little while, so we better make the best use of it. So, you know, falling into that trouble of that trial that can catch us off guard. So, and then I have a few more. Sixthly, the troubles are given to us to value God's blessing. Again, troubles are given to us to value God's blessing. You know, I think about David. King David, when he's being chased in the desert by King Saul, remember that? I love what David said in one of his songs here in Psalm 63, verses 3 through 7. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Remember that song? Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. You ever had everything thrown at you? And it's like a big heap over top of you. Everything you figure was thrown at you. But you have that joy. I don't care. A mountain could fall on me. I'll still praise the Lord. Right? You ever had one of those good days? Right. So, my soul, David says, shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. That means the best part of the cut. Yeah, plenty of, I don't know if you should be eating a lot of fat, but yeah, marrow in the bone is good for you too. That's what poor people would eat. The marrow is very good, high in vitamins and things. But my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. He just couldn't stop praising the Lord. And when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. In other words, in bed or if I'm out at night watching, protecting my castle, my home. I'm thinking about you. Say, Lord, you're in my heart 24/7. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. So he's been our helper, and he lifts us up, like it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's like wings of eagles, and we just soar over life's problems. Isn't that wonderful? That today we can soar over life's problems. Jesus says you can't add one thing to your life. So take it as it is, trust me, and I'll lift you up. And I pray that God is lifting us up. So it's a blessing. God has a blessing knowing that he's in control, he's sovereign, and he's merciful and he's gracious. Number 7, suffering helps us to develop and people enduring strength for greater usefulness. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore I am well content with weakness and insults and distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong. And I think about Paul and Silas. Kimberly was going to sing a different song this past week. And I was like, and I tell any young preacher, I said, you start weeks before on your sermon. Weeks before. And as the Holy Spirit works on you, I said, it might be the very next morning. I don't know how some preachers can study. I'm not going to judge them, but they get their sermons together. I'll say, I don't know. But I can't do that. Good for them. But weeks ago, I had everything set up. And then this a few days ago, I had to call Hope. I had to check with Kimberly. Hope is in charge of music. I will praise the Lord. Ray Bolt. Yes. That's what we're going with because this fits in with the message. So that was all changed. Hope doesn't mind. The lady's got enough on her plate. You know, she's always going. And I figured, well, a little bit more is not going to hurt, you know, but she can handle it. But I'm very careful with her. Very careful. We need to be careful with one another. But Paul and Silas, it says here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everybody in chains were loosened. It's interesting that not one of those prisoners escaped. Nobody escaped from that jail. They were just awestruck by the power of God. That earthquake, and through Paul and Silas praying, and then praising the Lord. And you know what? The enemy hates that. You know, you get around like that, God just protects you. He takes care of you. And it's pointing to Jesus Christ. That's what it's doing. Some people have taken these verses, unfortunately, and say, you know, they're getting into the Holy Spirit thing. Holy Spirit's job is to point to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And some people don't understand. They say, preacher, I don't get it, you know. But I got it because my Bible tells me so. So thank God. And in that story, too, remember that demoniac was running around saying, look, there's Paul and Silas of the Lord. You got to remember something. Some people are confused by that passage because they said, what's wrong with the demoniac going around to pointing to them, say, they're of Jesus Christ. Look, they're the Son of God. Let me tell you something. Demons are lying spirits. And that's why Paul was like, shut up and get out of this young lady here. Oh, they were upset and they decided to stick Paul and Silas in jail. They were so angry. But don't ever think that Satan will trick you this week and say, well, why don't you use some of my tactics, some of my ways, and I'll give you a life. Yeah, it'll give you all kinds of confusion and everything else that goes with it. So the demoniac left. They were angry at Paul and Silas. They threw them in jail. They were Roman citizens. Remember, the jailer forgot that they were Roman citizens, and they beat them. And that was a big no-no. You never beat a Roman citizen. So they let, my point is, they let out Paul and Silas. Remember, God will protect us if we're doing right. If we're doing right, God will protect us. I'm not saying we'll live physically, we'll be okay and everything. No, of course there are trials and tribulations. Jesus said that. But God will work and bless us through. And then we see here too, the last one here. Is suffering helps us to help others better in their trials. So we're here to help others who are suffering through us too. But we have the one who's been through everything. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. That's the best time. I'm concluding this. When we go through trials and we have the triumph, our troubles and triumph, that we have, thank God, that when we come to an end of ourselves, as I close, 1 minute till, just kidding. We need to depend on His grace and His mercy. Because the best prayer that I know has helped me through today is like, Lord, I need Your help. God, I need Your strength. Lord, I can't do this. I'm dependent on You. I am prostrate in my heart. And I sincerely mean that. Because God says, you need to be humble. There's too much of you in there. Okay, Lord, got it. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but it's Your work anyway. Isn't that nice? God makes it easy on us. It's His work, right? Just let Him. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that, you know, we go through the trials and yet we can also come out triumphant. And Lord, we thank You that when we blow our horn, so to speak, we blow it to You. You did it. You know, people say, oh, don't blow your horn, but that means something different. Jesus, You never blew Your horn. You never did that. You were there as a servant. You served others because You loved them. And the one thing that kept on coming back to my mind this morning is love. Lord, love covers everything. It covers sins. It covers our relationships. It protects us. We thank You for Your fruit, that we may be fruitful in our lives, that we may lead other people to You. In other words, you know, people are wise to lead those to Christ. You got that. But we're wise only through Your wisdom and because of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and because they see Christ in us. And we're just one part of their salvation. Maybe somebody will reap that. We'll reap that after many prayers because it's all about You. Lord, help us to understand things so that we may glorify You better, to know You better. Not that no one is here praying for trials and tribulations. That's very foolish. But Lord, realize when they do come from Your hand, that you love us and you're trying to show us something. Just pray for the churches everywhere, Lord, not just our church, but people would repent. They'd turn to you. But not only that, they realize that you're working in, you're at work every day of our lives. And Lord, where we fall short, please continue to show us. And thank you for your mercy and your grace and your promises and your word. Lord, pray if there's someone here online, because I'm sure of everybody's salvation here. If you're listening, Lord, pray that you'll accept by faith. You got to begin by faith that you're a sinner. And from that next step with faith, you realize that you need a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the anointed Savior. And Lord, that knowing by faith, the next step is accepting them, Him, you, into their heart, into their life. So, Lord, that you will dwell, and Lord, by confessing with your mouth, Lord, afterwards, by faith, you can tell others that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Lord, thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, God, that what's come around in our lives hits home, where we realize that you are real in our lives. Thank you for the blood shed for our sins. Thank you for your death, Lord, that had to be made, that perfect sacrifice without blemish. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday here at Grace Bible. Thank you for the folks. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, when we leave here today, that we can say, Lord, it's been good being in your house, because it's always good. It's just how we look at things. Help us with our attitudes to mature. Pray that this church would grow, Lord, as you see fit. And we give you all the thanks and praise. It's your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.